Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition, inspiration.
Is there anything she can't handle? She looks fear in the face day after day, but yet she never runs. She's unbreakable. She's a warrior. She's you.
Growth.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Community.
These things happen because you have to live your true self in a bigger way.
Featuring the best of Maria Menounos' SiriusXM show with celebrity and life-changing interviews, thoughts on the week, and more. And it's free. All we ask is that you rate, comment, and subscribe on iTunes and tell a friend to subscribe to SiriusXM. Listen to Conversations with Maria Menounos on SiriusXM Stars 109 at 1 p.m. East. And now here's your host, Maria Menounos.
Happy Friday, everybody. We've got the power.
Snap.
Yeah. We got a good song for you guys because we want you to have the power. We're going to be talking about how to get that power with author, New York Times bestselling author, actually, Jen Sincero. She wrote, "You Are a Badass," and she sold at least a million copies of that, if not more at this point. And she's going to teach us how to change and shift out of our kind of sunken place. I know that's kind of a hot term right now with Kanye West. Mm-hmm. I still don't really quite understand the Kanye West sunken place thing, but he's out of a sunken place. So we want to get you out of your sunken place.
It's a lot of people are having a problem with the whole. And you, I'm Chris Booker, by the way.
I was just going to intro,
but I wanted I wanted to keep your Kanye going.
Let me keep it. But just so you know, the voice.
Yeah, Booker. Well, because people are saying, well, maybe he has mental issues, and I guess his wife now is calling out the media for it. But he's never really come out and said that he has mental issues. He's saying that he has some sort of opioid addiction.
He had.
I don't know. Who could keep up on the Kanye? But when everybody goes left, he's seriously going right.
He's alt-right, a free thinker. He's
if
a
you
free
say
thinker.
So.
Guys, we are back on Conversations with Maria Menounos, the podcast edition, where we bring you free fresh sources of news, insight, the best of our SiriusXM shows for the week. You can find us here every Friday on Apple Podcasts. All we ask is that you hopefully rate, subscribe, comment, tell a friend about the show. And we're hoping you like this enough that you'll join us here every Friday, but then also on SiriusXM Stars, Channel 109, weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. So, in the co-host seat today, we're having a little reunion of sorts. My friend from the ET, Entertainment Tonight days, Mr. Chris Booker is in the hot seat today. He hosts the Perez Hilton podcast with Chris Booker. You can find that on iTunes and perezpodcast.com. And I made a commitment, Chris, and it's so great that you randomly happen to be here today of all days to give some advice and helpful tips to people who want to do what I do, what you do, you know, kind of industry tips. And so we're going to talk about that to start with, and then we have a great interview with Katie Mixon. She is the star of ABC's hit show, American Housewife. I interviewed her this week on SiriusXM, and she is such a ray of light. I'm so obsessed with her. She lives just down the street, so I'm going to be her new best friend. And she just, I like wanted to cry. She was such sunshine and so positive and so amazing.
Do you get uncomfortable around people that are that positive sometimes? Because I do.
Well, I mean, sometimes you think, what's wrong with you?
Right. It's not my nature.
Like, I'm pretty positive, but damn, she's like crushing the scale here. Yeah. But no, but that just makes me want to be around her more because you want that to rub off on you.
Your husband's that way. Your husband is, I think what did I text you? He makes me want to run through a wall because I hadn't seen you in I don't know how many years. And we ran into one another at a sushi joint in the neighborhood. And I went over and I said, hey, to you for a second. And then I started to talk to your husband, Kevin, for a second. And we were literally 3 seconds in. And he's like, I got this great idea for you. And he launches into it. And by the end of the idea, I'm like, that's a goddamn great idea.
Yeah.
And he's one of those inspirational, kind of happy, always forward thinking kind of people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I walked out of there like, I could do that, you know. So, yeah, being around that lends to being better. And I think that's where we'll get to with your guest later on in the podcast.
Absolutely. I mean, who you're around is who you're going to be. And Kevin, I told you, we call him Vitamin K at AfterBuzz. Mm-hmm. He's also known as the Hollywood Career Coach. Mm-hmm. And I always say to people, like, he will meet you and within a minute know exactly what you're supposed to do. There's almost like a spidey sense in there where he knows where your strengths are and where you need to go and what you need to do. And he hasn't seen you in forever, but he knew. And he told me the idea for you. And I was like, oh, my God, you're a genius. But he has that.
But it was like 3 seconds into our conversation. Yeah. It wasn't like there was no small talk. There was no, hey, man, you're in the hood. Nothing. He was like, dude, I got this great idea. It's perfect for you. I'm like, hi. He's right out of the gate with a great idea. But you got it. You know, when you're around people like that, good things tend to happen.
He poops out great ideas.
Well,
like
I'm
going to
be his toilet
nothing.
Paper. Because this man is he's pretty good.
He is. Well, and it's funny. So I was reading Jen Sincero's book, You Are a Badass, and preparing for my interview this week. And I had this moment where I've been, you know, Kevin's trying to kind of figure out his chapter two, right? Like, what does he do next? But he's the life coach for everybody and the career coach for everybody. He needs one for himself. And so I was inspired by Jen when she said that when she decided to kind of, you know, get out of that sunken place and kind of take control and decide that she is going to really go for it. Mm-hmm. She started, because she's a writer, she started doing writing courses like online. She would like coach writers or something like that. And then she like more than tripled her income. And then from there, everything kind of grew. And I was like, you know, boo, I was like, you need to really pursue this Hollywood career coach thing, because everyone has a dream to come out here. And, you know, agents, they don't really know how to do it for you. They don't know how to build. They
well,
know
when
how
you
to
come out here, you don't have an agent.
Well, first of all, you don't have an agent. Yeah. Yeah. That's what AfterBuzz is for.
There needs to be a Welcome to Hollywood class. And he could teach that. It's called Welcome to Hollywood class. And he meets you, and it's a good environment. And that's the number one thing. And he'll, you know, he's got AfterBuzz.
You have to come to AfterBuzz, by the way. I got to check that out.
Yeah. Because I am, first of all, I am an aficionado when it comes to everything The Bachelor. Oh, my God, I love that
show.
Oh,
you should do the after show.
I should totally be all over that. That's my wheelhouse. But, no, I think, you know, if Hollywood had something like that, someone that could, you know, greet these people off of the bus, and there's thousands of them a day for a nominal fee, of course, but a very small fee with a pleasant face.
Yeah.
Because after that pleasant face, you're going to see nothing but ugly. you really are going to see some people that are just awful human beings. But you need to be prepared for that.
It's true.
You need to be prepared for you are nobody, and doors will be slammed in your face, and you are expendable.
It's so true. That's why AfterBuzz is such a great place, because we always say if you come out to Hollywood with a dream, their first stop is generally AfterBuzz. They come in, we help them, you know, build their reel. They get on camera hosting their after show. And then, you know, Kevin's mentoring and doing seminars and all kinds of things there. But I was saying to him this morning, and it was inspired by her book, I'm like, you need to do more with this, because you're giving it away for free, and that's great. And we'll give it away to our hosts. But there are so many people that are struggling and flailing. So once you're not the hot thing at an agency, like, there's no one that's creative enough to say, well, these are what things are good, you're good at, and let's put you in here, and let's do this, and let's do that. They can kind of just think of, oh, there's a job opening over here, and there's a job opening over there.
They don't think that way in this town, and you realize that you are just a drop in their giant bucket of drops.
Yeah.
And what I realized in Hollywood, if you will, you've got to come up with the idea yourself.
Have to.
And you have to
execute it yourself.
Execute, thank you, because I was searching for the word execute.
Yep.
You have to execute it, and you have to find a way. And how this generation, they're so lucky, because you can do all of this on your phone today.
Yeah.
On a phone. That's it. You need a phone and some lighting in the background.
Yeah, you can have a show from wherever you want.
Wherever. And you can practice, and you can get better. And people come to me all of the time. I want to be this. I want to do that. My answer is always, then do it.
Go do it.
Do it. It doesn't matter if 4 people are watching. You can post anything you want for free on YouTube. You can learn how to edit. There are free editing programs if you have a Mac or whatever.
We didn't have those.
No, we didn't have any of that. We literally had to go out and get television jobs, suck on TV, which was awful. I mean, my first real television job was MTV2.
Uh-huh.
And the 2 represented how many people were watching. And that is a good thing, because I blew. I had no idea what I was doing, but I cut my teeth and I got better at it. And then I learned how to do television. We didn't have We didn't have phones.
YouTube.
Fancy phones that recorded you and you could edit on. You could literally edit on your telephone everything that you do. So there is no excuse for you now not to be able to do it.
Yeah. Well, and also it's funny, you know, one of the biggest things that I've been proud of at AfterBuzz is if you do want to have a stop and have a safe haven, we are it at AfterBuzz. And this isn't a plug for AfterBuzz, but it is a
Sounds
direction.
Like one.
It's a direction for someone who's listening that does want to be a host. We've had hosts come from all over the world, Australia, they come out and they apply. And so I'm sure, do we have an email address on the website or something on AfterBuzzTV.com?
To apply, host at AfterBuzzTV.com.
Hosts?
Hosts with an S at the end.
Hose, actually.
She said that so fast.
Hosts.
Remember what you were like when you were listening to this desperate to be out here.
Right.
You need to spell it out. Hosts, plural, at AfterBuzzTV. Not over me. Not over me.
Let the host talk, please.
I'm just speaking to you. Hosts at AfterBuzzTV.com. But in the meantime, I think, you know, some of the things that are really helpful too is, you know, find somebody that you kind of want to emulate and read all about them and read about their journey. Read about a lot of people's journeys. And kind of see, first of all, you're going to see that nobody had the same journey.
Yes.
Everyone's had a different way. And it doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, because we weren't rich. We were definitely poor.
No, I grew up in a trailer in West Virginia. So
okay, so we figured it out. We're here.
You figure it out. You do. I think what's very important, and if you, and this is key, I think, is if you do, if you are lucky enough to know what you want to do, that's half the battle. Mm-hmm. Don't come out here and say, well, I want a host. Okay, maybe I want to act. I might model. I might do that Instagram, YouTube thing. That's all horseshit. None of that works. If you know what you want to do, I want this job. Mm-hmm. The most important thing is to say it. Say it out loud. Tell everybody you know. If you meet somebody that's in that field, say, I want to be Maria Menounos. Mm-hmm. I want to be a correspondent on fill in whatever show, because it will happen.
Yeah, someone's going to know someone, and
well,
you'll get
it will
there.
Happen that if you if someone is in that circle and they are in a position where they could hire or tell someone, every now and again, it'll happen. Somebody will say, "We need a whatever fill in the blank," and if you've said it to someone out loud, they'll go, I've got a person, and that's as easy as it is.
But
just
the way
say
they're going to identify you as that person, Chris, is you have to already have done something impressive.
Right.
And I don't mean like career-wise. I mean made a great first impression on the people that you've met, been humble, been positive. Like you have to do all of these things. No one wants to hook up an asshole who thinks that they're amazing, that they should just have this and that they're entitled to it. You know, I always say endear yourself to whoever you're working for, wherever you're working at. Mm-hmm. When I was at Dunkin' Donuts, I was brown nosing and kissing ass and doing whatever I could to make sure that my bosses knew that I had their back and I was totally all over it and was positive and was passionate about my job, all the way up to my other jobs in this industry. So you have to show yourself and you have to be that. You have to be positive. You have to be enthusiastic.
Put a smile on.
Resourceful. Guys, there's a thing called Google. And for some reason, young people don't understand. They're like, I don't know how to do it.
The answer is in front of you. It's called the internet. It'll answer every question.
We didn't have
that. We didn't have it.
I used to have to open up Funkin' Wagnalls encyclopedias and be like, oh, what does this mean? And what's that? So you got to be resourceful. You've got to hustle. Mm-hmm. You've got to want to work hard. Not worry about, oh my God, I've got a christening this weekend and next weekend my friend's getting married and I've got this. No, if you want to win and you want to make it, nothing else matters other than the health and well-being of your closest people. You've got to focus so hard, like Seabiscuit, and just focus on that. And then later things can be, you know, added in.
Yes.
20 years later.
As you've earned them.
As you've earned them.
You've earned the right to take a birthday.
Yep.
But you young people, listen. There's no such thing as a goddamn birthday week or a birthday month. Or taking off for your birthday.
Yeah.
Or your goddamn dog's birthday. That's not a thing. Yeah. Okay, you show up. You show up no matter. And that is my rule number one. If you're asking me, what's your rule number one? Show up. I mean on time.
Early.
On time.
On time is early.
On time is early. Fine.
You got to be 10 minutes early to be on time.
Someone says you need to be there at 1, you better be there at 1, not 3 minutes after 1. And you're right.
Yeah, and
on time
is
early.
Oh, my God, the meter was broken. Yeah. Am I tired?
The traffic in L.A. Like, really? There's traffic in L.A.? You don't say.
It's called no excuses, no bullshit.
Exactly.
Be there. Be 100% there. Not on your phone.
Be present.
Not Facebooking. Not, you know, texting your friends for the weekend plans. Like, you have to want to please and impress your boss at every turn, be going, you know, well over expectations as much as possible. Because when you go over expectations, then you see, wow, he's capable of more or she's capable of more. Maybe I could add some more onto their plate. Maybe I can hire them in this position, right? Like Ashley, like as we've been working together, that's what's happened, right? We've started in one place and then I'm like, wow, she's been really impressive. Let's graduate to this. Let's graduate to that. And let's graduate to that. And I've baby stepped it and I've allowed you to kind of show me. I'm not going to just assume you can do everything. I want you to show me that you care and that you're going to put the time in and you're going to put the work in and that you're going to be humble. Mm-hmm. Say you're sorry when you make a mistake.
Sorry.
You know, it really takes the air out of the balloon. Like, you know, it's nice. And so, and people need to hear it because whoever you're working for, wherever you're working, even if you're just waitressing right now and trying to pursue your dreams, like you have to start exercising these really important, you know, character traits so that when you are in these other positions that you can do this.
It's a career muscle that you must learn to flex.
Yeah.
And you must put the time in. It only takes one time of not showing up to put in my mind you're not serious about something, and I've moved on to the next person.
Yeah, and that thank you notes. I send thank you
that's
notes.
That's a great. That is so.
For if someone sends me a Snickers bar, I send a thank you note.
Don't show up empty-handed. How about that?
Yeah.
Bring something. Yeah. Bring a bottle.
Yeah, even if it's cheap, you brought something.
Right.
You took the initiative and the care to bring something.
Yeah.
I think that before we go, I want to give some quick tangible tips for breaking into the industry. So I think that if you want to be a TV host, before you even attempt it, before you even take the money to move out here and to attempt it, because you're going to get here, and unless you're at AfterBuzz, you're really going to suffer and it's going to be hard. Start practicing at your home. Mm-hmm. You know, get a script from a local TV station. That's what I did. I took a script from a local TV station and I would read it into the mirror and I would watch my facial expressions and I would see if I was doing anything funny or if I had funny expressions that I needed to work on. And I worked on that script and worked on that script and worked on my inflections. And, you know, I self-taught how to do it by listening to good newscasters do it and say, oh, well, that's how they do it. And, you know, I'm going to kind of follow that vibe.
Well, there's, and I want to add to that, you know, there are teleprompter apps now that once again, no excuses. This generation has no excuses.
Yeah.
Anything you can think of, somebody else has already thought of it and it's on your phone and
practice
it's accessible and it's free.
They're free. The iPad ones are free.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You can get so good at reading a teleprompter with just practice and listen, you're going to suck at first. You just are. It's par for the course, but you get better at it the more you do it. And it's like she just said, it doesn't matter if it's the same script and you are reading it for a month straight.
I read it for like years.
And
but that's funny.
You know,
do you still have it? I bet you do.
I totally do.
You will get good at it. And then when the next script comes along, you'll know what you're doing because you've got that ingrained in your head.
Yeah.
But that's a great tip.
And when you meet someone that could be a potential mentor, like say like you meet Chris at an event and you go up to him.
You come to my house, you have a I'll have a robe on.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. No, I can't do that. I guess that's a hashtag now.
You go up to Chris or you go up to me and you give. You give to get. You can't just go up there and be like, hey, make my dreams come true. Wave the magic wand. A lot of people will come up to me and they're like, can't you just put me on TV? And I'm like, no, it doesn't work like that.
Doesn't go that way.
You've got to work.
Right.
You've got to hustle.
When you're meeting me, I don't really care about your aspirations yet. You need to prove what you're worth first.
Yeah.
You do.
Well,
you
show
need
us
to.
What you got.
Show us what you got.
And have integrity. You know, like I always teach people, like whatever you're doing, have integrity. Like do the research.
Mm-hmm. Do the work.
Check your facts. Be knowledgeable. Know more than the person you're working for on the subject so that you can help them. Whatever you're doing, you need to be better. Like Ashley, as you know, producer in the booth. You need to know more about the interview subject and more about the guest host and more about what we're doing than I do, because I might come to you with a question and you need to be able to answer it. The second you don't know, I have no faith in you.
Right.
Right?
And because us hosts that's your are very job. Lazy. We don't like to do the work ourselves.
Some of us do. Some of us do. But I think that you have to really focus on what you want and know that at first you should figure out the one major thing. What's the major pull, right? Mm-hmm. So it's broadcast journalism. Okay. But like, if you do want to act and you do want to do all these things like I did, that time will come. Mm-hmm. But you got to focus on the one thing first and then build off of that carefully and respectfully right. as much as you can.
So have a specific goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, have a goal and have at least some work behind it that you've already done. Somebody comes up and says, well, I want to be a host. Well, let me see what you've done. Well, I just want to be a host. Yeah, well, you know, I want to be a millionaire. I want to be a rocket scientist. Yeah. You can't. You have to have at least something behind you that shows that you've at least done the work to walk up to me and say that I want to do that. Yeah. Really? Well, what have you done so far? Nothing for it. Well, you think I'm going to take you seriously? I'm not, because you have hopes and dreams and wishes.
And you can create your own reel. You can literally shoot yourself on your iPhone
and
copy stand-ups that are on TV. Like if you want to be on E!, you know, go on, listen to E! One day, literally write down the script that they said. It's not very long. A lead and a tag, an intro and a close to a piece isn't very long. Write it down and then mimic them. Put yourself in a nice background with some nice, you know, light and shoot it. And now you've got something.
Yeah.
And you can show someone, wow, she's poised. She's talented. I like how she handled that. And to put your own spin on it.
Yeah. You have to have other a point
people,
of view.
And have other people who are more successful than you that are rooting for you look at it and give you good critique. Mm-hmm. Those are the kinds of things that I did growing up. And those are the kinds of things that I know got me here. So yeah. I hope that's helpful. And we'll do more on this as the podcast go on.
I've always said this. There are more girls in Los Angeles that want to be on E! That actually actually watch the network. Okay.
Yeah. You're in a and pool. Very few people watch it. Yeah.
That's my point. There are more people here that actually great. There are that want to be on it than actually watch the network.
Yeah.
The competition is fierce. So if you are going to approach someone, you better have the work behind
you. And be ready. And don't shut out digital, because digital is where it's at. You know, these networks are all fighting for like 100,000 eyeballs at this point. It's mm-hmm. so pathetic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, TV isn't the end all be all. I know it's exciting because you can brag to your family and your friends, but really, if you're going to get 10 million eyeballs on something digital, that's where you want to be. Guess what? That's where I want to be.
Yeah.
I don't want to be somewhere where they're getting 100,000, 150,000 people a night watching.
Yeah.
That does not excite me. And I know I can say that now, but the business is changing and we need to shift. So you need to be open to all of these different kinds of opportunities, because I'm just telling you now, like the jobs are slim. Even though there's so many in a sense, they're so slim for like the big kind of roles. And so,
well, just look at what we do. I mean, as entertainment reporters, you know, the whole scenery changed when actors were like Mario Lopez, perfect example. You work with him. Actors are going, well, I could do that.
Yep.
Well, all of a sudden, you're with somebody that is a household name. You got to be better than him.
I know.
And that's what you're going up against.
Exactly. Exactly. All right, Chris. Great tips. Thanks so much for helping us with that segment.
Thanks for having me on.
And you'll hear Chris on our interview later in the show with Jen Sincero. In the meantime, we're going to bring you an interview with Sunshine Committee, Miss Rainbow. I friggin' love her. And you are going to fall in love with her. And that's the only reason she's in this podcast right now, is because you are going to love her and you're going to want to watch her show. Her name is Katie Mixon. And my co-host with Katie Mixon, because it just so happened that day that the executive editor of Good Housekeeping was my co-host. Her name is Megan Murphy. She was just working with Katie Mixon on the cover of Good Housekeeping.
You don't say.
Katie Mixon's on the cover.
This is what a great story.
Beautiful. So,
just play the damn interview already.
So we'll play the damn interview. Here we go.
From news and pop culture to fitness and health to relationships and careers.
This is Conversations with Maria Menounos.
And I believe I see her live in person.
Hi, darling.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, honey. How are you doing?
I'm good. You look fantastic.
Oh, you're so kind. I'm pulling it together.
We have the Good Housekeeping executive editor on the line. She's co-hosting with me today.
Oh,
ironically,
my goodness. That's
Megan
so crazy.
Murphy.
Yes.
She was just telling us about your baby shower
It was magical. They were so special to throw that for me. I had the best time.
It sounds special. And you got to learn about all the best baby products, right?
I know. It was just, it's like the most special.
Did you fill up the minivan with everything?
No, honey. They literally sent so many things to the Sherman Oaks house. Yeah, it was awesome.
That's amazing. Yes. So you're like about to have a baby any minute.
In 3 weeks.
Nick might be delivering the baby in that very studio right now.
Oh, no. I got to prepare. Jeez.
Bear with me, Nick.
The pressure.
Could you imagine? Did you see, who was the, it was the guy from Late Night. Oh, shoot.
Oh, yeah. Seth Meyers?
Seth Meyers had a, like.
Oh, yes. In the lobby.
Yep.
Yeah, in the lobby.
The head Could was, like, imagine? Coming out in the lobby. No.
Could
no,
you imagine?
Honey, I cannot imagine. I cannot imagine at all.
Oh, man. So we're so excited to have you on the show. I'm so excited that it worked out that Megan's here and you're on that cover of Good Housekeeping. And
it was a dream. It was
what an amazing
special.
Cover, too.
I adored it. I was so just unbelievably blessed to be a part of it. I loved it so much.
And you know what's great, too, is I was telling Megan off air, I loved the fashion layout with you. Because
did you?
Yeah, because I love fashion and
me too.
I find often on TV the fashion segments are not really good unless they're done by my friend Rachel Zalas. But I really enjoy the fashion tips, like pairing a band t-shirt with a little blazer jacket, and you know, florals are really big and that you can mix anything with florals. I would never think that. I'm so kind of rigid sometimes with patterns.
I know, me too.
Right.
And so, it took me that there was that one outfit that I totally wrapped my head around that I ended up loving.
It's my favorite.
Is it the one with the floral? With the
so it's a floral like below the knee skirt.
So
yeah. Oh, honey, yes, with the shoes. It was like the shoes and then like
the little trench and the and like the pop of color on
oh
the
my
heel.
God.
Oh my gosh, it's
I ended up. I loved it.
Yeah, so it's like if you're listening, there's a stripe. Of course you're listening. What else are you doing? It's a stripe long sleeve shirt.
With a good little trench.
With a trench, but the sleeves are pulled up on the trench, so you see some stripes on the shirt at the like up to the wrist. And this beautiful floral skirt with these pointy little pumps, and you look friggin' adorable.
Oh,
like
honey,
so beautiful.
You're so sweet. I was literally 4 months pregnant when we shot it.
Whoa.
Oh yeah.
And Katie has the best hair ever next to you, Maria. My God. Look at
hair. Honey, you're so sweet.
I love it. No, you do have great hair. So I thought that was really cool. So we're getting like some great fashion tips as well. And as Megan said, it's not easy to get to be on that cover because, you know, you're competing with a pumpkin, as she said. So let's see who sells more. You or the pumpkin.
Exactly.
The race is on.
I know.
So the show American Housewife is in its second season.
Yes.
And you play the role of Katie Otto.
I do.
So tell everyone a little bit about the show who may not be watching because we are in a binge era where everyone kind of waits and saves. So tell everybody about the show and a little bit about your character.
They have moved to Westport and she is in in a situation of all Stepford wives where everybody is not the size that she is, but she is she's trying to raise her three children in a perfect place, you know, and she's not perfect and they're not perfect. So it's really an incredible situation where the character is about just being who you are. And marching to the beat of your own drum. And it's, I've always said that anybody can relate to it. Doesn't matter what gender you are. Doesn't matter, you know, what background you come from. Everybody relates to insecurity. And everybody knows what that feeling is like.
Even the popular kids
you
don't feel secure.
I know.
That's why they're assholes.
Exactly. Exactly.
No doubt.
So that's right. Megan agrees. So that's
the one episode where you had to fundraise. That was and that one cracks me up because I have three kids and I'm constantly be like, can you do this for the school, whatever? And then the one season you pretended to be pregnant so that you could get out of stuff. I was like, you cracked me up.
Honey,
show is like, it's like my life.
Oh my God. And she hates Katie Otto hates volunteering. Like just absolutely hates it. And so yes, that episode where she's trying to go to everybody and she needs to like pull it off, you know, with all the charity work and everything. So it's just, it's an incredible situation, I think, of a show that just represents, it's really genius to be yourself. And you're not going to get it perfect every time, but tomorrow's a new day.
Yeah. And oh my gosh, how tiring to try to be perfect. But when you live in Westport, Connecticut, and I've been there, it is like,
oh, you haven't? I've never
been.
It's
beautiful. Oh my God. Paul Newman lived in Westport, Connecticut.
Oh my God.
So I remember going there to do a story when he had passed, and it is pristine. Yeah. And it is perfect.
Right.
So your creator, Sarah Dunn, did she live in Westport?
No.
Is that why she set it there?
No.
But this is based on her life.
This is based on her life. The executive producers, Kenny Schwartz, lived in Westport, grew up in Westport.
Okay, and so she used that setting for that reason.
Exactly. But she lives quite close to there. She grew up around there. But Kenny's the one that, you know, lived in Westport and everything.
So now, does she come to you and explain certain things because it's part of her life? Like,
yes.
She gives you the intel, so you don't even have to really, like, think sometimes,
no,
I'm sure.
I don't. I'm really like, I read the script, I'm like, I don't know where is she coming from? And she'll come in and, you know, kind of explain, you know, where she wants me, you know, to go with it and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, they're really, it's an incredible writing staff, honey, and it's an incredible team. And so they've got trust in me, which is real lovely. And so I roll with it, you know, but they're really open to what I bring to the table. But then when there's like things like specifically of Westport, I'm originally from Pensacola, Florida, so I don't know. Do you feel me? So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And you're one of seven kids.
I am, honey. It's the Von Trapp Family Singers.
Where did you fit in the age category?
I am the third oldest. There's six girls and one boy, and I'm the third oldest.
So your accent, I would feel, is like more Texas or something, right?
Yeah, I'm right in the panhandle. I'm three hours away from New Orleans.
Okay, that's
why. I'm literally, my mom and dad are from Louisiana, so that's my whole background.
I love New Orleans. I was just there.
Oh,
it's so amazing.
Magical. It's so special.
It really is.
I love it down there so much.
So I love your spirit. Megan, I get it. Because I was like, how do you pick your good housekeeping cover girl? And she's like, well, first of all, they're competing with pumpkins. We don't do it often. But they've got to have this, like, this, you know, thing where you want to go on a road trip with them. And I want to go on a road trip with you.
I love it. We would have so much fun. I love
you
a road
You can have the baby
trip.
First.
Yes.
We'll leave it with Nick.
Okay, and then we'll leave in June. Nick, you've got it handled.
Oh, no.
I feel like if anybody's going to deliver a baby on the fly and be cool and calm and figure it out, it's Nick.
That's true. I would
right?
do that.
Me. I'm
Nicholas
like, it's not me.
Has got it going on.
Yeah. Totally. Ashley would be like, oh, my God, what do I do? Oh, my God. And Nick would be like, I got this. So Katie, I'm sitting here thinking, wow, she's about to have a baby any minute with Nick. No, I'm kidding. She's about to have a baby in the next like 2 to 3 weeks.
I'm ready.
Nick is ready.
Yeah. So 2 to 3 weeks, you're about to give birth and you are so bubbly and positive. And I want to know where that comes from, because I know a lot of women in your shoes right now are tired and are ready to just do this. Where does this energy and spirit come from?
Well, darling, I had a baby last year and he's 11 months old.
Mm-hmm.
So I gotta keep it happening. Do you feel me? Like if I'm crying, we're gonna cry and we're gonna feel it and we're gonna wipe the tears and continue on going.
Yeah. So basically, if you collapse now, you're so tired already.
Do you feel
probably.
Me? We're all gonna go down. But I, you know what, honey? I think it is. I've got an unbelievable support system. My husband is just absolutely incredible, and he's just such a cheerleader, the most unbelievable daddy. Mm-hmm. But also, I am such a firm believer of there's never going to be another time like this. Do you feel me? So I am like, I just have such a sense of like gratitude and gratefulness. And yes, the back hurts and the feet are swollen. And what has happened to my body, I can't even describe. Do you feel
is it
me?
Worse the second time around?
I believe it is. I truly believe it is, honey. They all say it's awesome the second time around. I'm hurting more with the second one than the first one. But I think what is so incredible is I'm going to give life. to a baby, and it's really, really magical. And I've been doing it ever since, you know, I've been filming the show pregnant. I don't know what it's like not to film the show pregnant. Mm-hmm. So that schedule is a beast, but I'm very happy to be. I've just completed the, you know, second season 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago. And I'm all about living in the present. And so right now we are in the present and we are getting ready. And there's power in being in the present. There really is.
I love that. I say that every day. Yeah. I always encourage everyone to be present.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned your husband, and I have an amazing husband who's my support, you know, system and my backbone. He's everything.
Yes.
Is your husband in the industry or is he not?
He's a four-time Olympian in javelin.
Whoa.
World record holder.
Whoa.
So he's retired now and everything, but that's his background. He's 6'3", the most unbelievable athlete. He's a stud. I know, Megan.
Tell us the tale.
Yeah, he's really special. So he's not, but he understands. He competed, you know, on worldwide levels.
Yeah,
so he gets it, honey. He really, really gets it.
Yeah. That's really important because when you're popping and you have a hit show and everything, like you said, you're never going to have a moment like this.
I know.
So really embracing this and having everything fire on all cylinders is so important.
It really is. And it's so important. With the love of your life, you've got to be a team.
Yeah.
You got to communicate. If you're feeling something, you can't be passive aggressive. You got to share your heart. Do you know? You got to speak the truth in love.
Yeah.
Like that's kind of, those are just kind of like our go-tos. Do you know?
I love it.
Yeah.
I want Katie Mixon to be my new best friend. I love you, Katie. And I think you just live down the street. We're both Valley girls.
Oh my God. I love it, honey.
Next time you're coming in studio here with
yes,
the baby.
I would adore it.
So I have Megan as my new best friend. Well, you're like the latest. You know, Katie's the newest best friend, but I collect people on the Sunshine Committee, and you're definitely on the Sunshine Committee.
Done, right?
Megan?
It's the Good Vibe Tribe. Yep, I'm totally.
The Good Vibe Tribe.
I love it.
This is what I tell people all the time is like, look at who you have around you.
I know.
And are they inspiring you? Are they, you know, positive? Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that everyone can't have a bad moment, mm-mm, but like, what's their general demeanor?
I know.
And this just like gave me so much life being with both of you ladies today. Even though we're both via satellites,
we're all completely.
We're all over the place, but it's having people around you that will inspire you to be better. And when you say what you said at almost 9 months pregnant or whatever it is officially, right?
Yeah, honey.
That's inspiring to me. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
And I'm so excited for you and your new baby to come. Of course, you guys can follow her on Twitter at Katie E. Mixon. On Instagram, it's the same thing at Katie E. Mixon. You can catch the show every Wednesday night on ABC. It's called American Housewife. Hope you love Katie as much as I do. Now for your self-help needs, we've got Jen Sincero. Stay tuned.
Always loved going one-on-one with people.
Welcome back to Conversations with Maria Menounos.
Guys, my next guest is an author, success coach, motivational speaker known for her New York Times bestselling books, You Are a Badass, How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life, and You Are a Badass at Making Money. Please welcome Jen Sincero. Hi, Jen.
You're welcome.
Oh, well, I'm glad. We like to welcome everybody with
now
a big...
Now fix us.
Yeah, fix us. So where are you calling in from, New York?
I'm in Philly right now.
Oh, yeah. Philly.
I used to live in Philly.
Beautiful.
Very nice. So listen, we're going to get right down to it because here's the deal. We all need help. And you have this amazing book, you know, You Are a Badass, the, you know, How to Stop Doubting Your Greatness and Start Living an Awesome Life is a quick read. And it's amazing. And I loved it. And I've read all of the books for the most part that you have in your reference guide. And I felt a lot of, you know, different themes in there that were consistent with all of these, you know, great messages that people have out there and people need to hear it. What I love about you is you kind of speak to the every person. And, you know, some of these books, like I'm in the middle of reading Ask and It Is Given, and they're, you know, kind of tougher to get through. They're amazing. And the message is amazing. And I love it. But you're kind of speaking in real speak to people. And it connects. And it just, it's so much easier to kind of get through. And I want to be able to give our audience as much tangible takeaway as we can today. So thank you for doing this. And thank you for writing this great book. And, you know, I guess...
Why don't you ask her a question there, Maria?
Yeah. Okay, Chris.
You know, like, how do you fix me?
So start how there. Do you fix Chris? I mean, you know, your journey, you yeah. fixed yourself. And I loved when you talked about how you did everything. When you made the decision to actually say, okay, I'm not going to live like this anymore. I'm not going to just go paycheck to paycheck. You did, you know, self-help classes and seminars and life coaches and all of that. You finally figure it out. And now you've written about it. So help guide people who are listening that feel stuck, that feel lost, that don't know how they're going to get to the next level. And then, you know, I really do believe the people you have around you is a big part of it, because you end up sitting on that same bar stool next to that same guy complaining about the same shit and nothing manifests because you're just talking negativity constantly. So how do we get people who are stuck to become unstuck?
Yeah, this is why we need to fix Chris now, because you're hanging out with him. So very important. Well, first you got to make the decision to do it. And so for me, I was in my 40s. I was living in a converted garage, making $0 a year. And I got so sick of being broke and feeling like a big fat loser. Like, really, Jen? This is the best you can do? And so I made the decision to get rich, which is a big fat deal. You've got to decide, because if you just want to change your life, what will happen is you will try until it gets too hard or too scary or too expensive, and you'll give up. So the first thing I always tell people is you've got to make the no-nonsense decision to change your life in whatever specific way you have decided to do it. And what that will do is it will keep you looking for ways to get through the tough times instead of looking for excuses as to why you can't.
Well, and I also love how you talk about the relationship to money, because a lot of people have difficult relationships with money and they think of it as evil. And I even got to that place at some point, even after I had made money, where I was like, oh gosh, I shouldn't want more. That's so greedy of me to want more. And
I don't have that problem, by the way.
Yeah, people have full-on freak shows. Like, we think we want all the monies, but, man, it is the most loaded topic. I have written about all sorts of things, you know, sex, religion, everything, and I swear money is the dirtiest, most loaded topic, because we're so conflicted about it. You know, we want it in our conscious minds, and then, you know, deep down, we really, you know, we believe, you know, rich people suck, or... Mm-hmm. All my friends are going to give me the hairy eyeball if I go out and get rich.
Yeah, or I don't want to be like them.
I don't want to be like them. If you get rich, it means you have to do things that are morally compromised. You know, we instantly go to all this negative stuff. So, of course, we don't let ourselves go forward and make a lot of money.
So can we talk about some tangible tips for people? Like, I loved drown yourself in affirmations. I think this is so important, because I do believe in the universe is working for you, not mm-hmm. against you. And what you say is what you'll get. So talk a little bit about that for people.
So the reason affirmations are so powerful is because what we say and think and believe on a daily basis creates our quote unquote reality. So, for example, I was always saying I can't afford it. That was my mantra at the time. And when I decided to get rich, I made myself stop saying that, and I made myself start saying money flows to me easily and freely. So at the time, I was living in a garage. I had 40 years of proof that I sucked at making money. But I changed my focus and I changed my mantra. And what that did was it made me start trying to find proof that money did flow to me easily and freely, instead of finding proof that I can't afford it. And that is one of the most powerful things. It's kind of like when you're looking for a place to rent, and all of a sudden you start seeing for rent signs everywhere, right? And it's not because everybody's like, well, Jen's looking for a place to rent. Let's hang up some signs and help her out. It's yeah. because you pull it into your radar, because you are now focusing on it. And the same thing goes with mantras. What you say over and over and believe and think about, you start to find proof that's already there, but it's just waiting for you to show up and switch your focus.
Well, it's the laws of attraction, right? And I feel like it's so hard. Like, I'm trying to convince my husband right now to believe in this. And, like, he believes in it, but then he won't practice it. And I'm like, you've watched me for 20 years, and I've done this since I was little, and everything I've asked for has come. Mm-hmm. And so you got to just try it. And so how do you, as a coach, convince people to do this? Because it seems really fruity. They don't believe that, oh, just because I'm going to say I'm going to have fruitful, you know, a fruitful life and money's going to flow. Like, it's not going to happen like that. Trust me, I ask for fucking private jets all the time. Excuse my language. But you know what I'm saying?
The bad news is, when you're a coach, people are paying you to help them change their lives. When you are a wife, they are not necessarily asking for your help. And people don't. You can lead a horse to water, man, and unless they're ready to drink it, I don't ever try to convince anybody of anything. I'm just like, you're paying me, you want my help, this is what I'm telling you to do, take it or leave it.
Well, let me bring a personal story into this, and it involves you. I remember we used to work red carpets together mm-hmm. every now and again, and you were always great about this. It's one thing I remember about you.
Really charming and kind and warm and wonderful.
It had to do with red carpets and like getting your picture taken and advancing yourself. Mm-hmm. And before the carpets, the photographers would be out there and they got nothing to do. And Maria's like, come on, let's go get our pictures taken. And I would be like, no, I feel dumb doing things like that. I don't want to. And she's like, no. And you gave me one of those gung-ho, like, you got to mm-hmm. do it speeches. Of course, I ignored you, and that's why I'm a loser. But you always had that mentality to do it. So when you have the mentality that I do, how do you shake that off? How do you say, no, I have to do these types of things to get A to B? What do you do in your mind where you make that decision? How do you tell your mind that?
Well, you got to want it. And we can't want it more for you. Like, the fact that you keep calling yourself a loser, it's like, come on, dude.
Well, that's up just being
funny.
But she talks
I'm obviously
about
a huge success.
But she talks about ditching your self-deprecating humor, which we'll get to. But let's focus on the other part
it's
first.
It's part of my thing.
Well,
I have to change my thing.
You got to want it. And okay, so here's a practical tip that you can do is you can start focusing the specifics of why you would like to change your life in whatever way instead of all the reasons it won't work or, you know, how hard it's going to be or whatever your little story is. Just focus on what you desire, because what that'll do is it'll bring up your emotions about it. And we are emotionally driven creatures. I mean, how many times have you had an idea that you knew in your conscious mind was a really bad idea, but it was going to be super fun, so you totally did it anyway, right? We do that all the time. So it's the emotion that blasts through the fear and the challenges. And so just get super emotional about it, and that takes getting very specific about what the things are that you want to create in your life.
I think it's interesting because what you're saying is funny. So you felt dumb doing that. I did too, but I did it anyway because I knew that was the way to build
it
and grow.
It wasn't my comfort zone.
Yeah,
and I never felt comfortable doing it. Now, I didn't necessarily think that you did either, but you knew better to do it anyhow.
Yeah.
And sometimes I look back, you know, it's one of my memories of us hanging out. I remember that time and you almost saying, no, you have to do this if you want to continue to do this.
Oh, I remember, guys, and I will say this only for the benefit of the audience right now. We had my very first red carpet I ever did. I had hired a publicist, very expensive publicist. She was Jennifer Love Hewitt's publicist at the time. And I was like, ooh.
Wow.
And Kevin drops me off in the car and I get out of the car and she's not there. And I'm having a heart attack. I'm 23. It is the scariest thing in the world. You're walking onto your first red carpet premiere. It was like a Nicolas Cage movie, Wind Talkers or whatever. And the publicist isn't there to walk me down the carpet. And I was like, oh my God, what do I do? Do I call Kevin to come pick me back up? And I'm on the verge of tears. I'm mortified. Mm-hmm. Or do I walk that carpet? And I got up the courage and I said, you got dressed. Someone made you a dress. You made it all the way down here. Just walk that carpet and just be bold. And I did it. And do you know that the next week, guess who was in Us Weekly for her first ever appearance in a magazine?
Because you did it.
Because I did it. And so sometimes you have to buck up and just say, screw it. And what's the worst that could happen? Like, someone's going to laugh at me or make fun of me or whatever. And you have to just have the balls to do it. And that's where, you know, you become a badass. Right, Jen?
Totally. And that brings up the best point, I think, that we've been really trained to run screaming in the other direction from our fears. And if you're not scared, you're doing something wrong if you want to change your life, because when you're in your comfort zone, it's not scary because it's all really familiar. It's everything you've been doing so far to get you where you are right now. And if you would like to be somewhere else, you got to do stuff you've never done before, and that is scary. So fear is an awesome compass that you're headed in the right direction.
I also think that's when you're living, right? Like, I've done the craziest things in my life, Jen. Totally. I've wrestled at WrestleMania. I've done crazy shit. And
that was a good idea, by the way. That was not
that
a crazy idea.
Awesome.
But it takes a lot of balls. Like, I've realized in my life I've had massive balls, but I've learned that in that moment of holy shit, that's when you live, right? Yeah,
exactly. Well, that's what you remember. And they always say that you always remember the things you screwed up. You never remember the things that were like, that I did pretty good at that. The things that you have the epic fails, those are the ones you go, man, that was crazy. That was fun.
Yeah.
So it kind of lends to that.
But I wonder, Jen, you know, because he didn't feel authentic doing it. So I think that's a conversation that a lot of women have within themselves is, this isn't authentic to me. Like, I'm having a social media crisis right now.
That's not just a woman
thing, by the way. I keep saying to myself where I'm like, oh God, everyone just seems to be so fake on this Instagram shit. And everyone's like, oh my God, look at me having a smoothie. Amazing. And it's like face tuned to all craziness. Everything in it is fake. And you're like, okay, but that's the game. That's the business. And that's how we're all making money now. And if you want to have your independence, that's how you have to do it. So for me, it's feeling a little inauthentic, and I'm battling that. For Chris back in the day, it felt inauthentic for him to walk that carpet. So how do you handle that?
I feel like you got to get started somewhere. And if that's what's working, you do what's working, okay? Because all this stuff has been tested, especially computery stuff, like certain things get more followers, ask a question where they can comment, and that'll get you more whatever the hell. Mm-hmm. So get yourself started and don't worry so much about being authentic. And then as you get rolling, then put your voice into it more and put your authenticity into it more. I mean, that's exactly how You Are a Badass happened for me, is that I was in online marketing and life coaching. I mean, talk about cheeseball central, right? And so, yeah. But I did it how everybody else was doing it. I was just, you know, in my little business casuals and putting up my little squeeze page and writing my marketing materials because I was going to get rich and I was very serious about it, but it didn't feel totally authentic. It felt, it wasn't completely against who I was, but it wasn't the whole enchilada of who I was. But I had to get started. So just get started, and then once you get rolling and once you figure out how it works, then start using your own voice. Put your own authenticity into it. And so I started writing self-help books that have curse words in them, which, you know, wasn't really being done and isn't how you do it. But it never would have happened if I hadn't just gotten started.
Yeah, I think, and that's the conversation I had with myself just the other day. I was like, you know what? As long as I'm being authentic with how I'm doing things, mm-hmm. I shouldn't be so concerned with how everyone else is doing them.
Totally.
But I think we have too many conversations with ourselves sometimes, and we start to like think of all the reasons why the something
voice,
is bad.
The voice in our head hates us.
Yeah.
It hates us. It absolutely, my voice in my head is just not a fan of me. It can't stand anything about me. And I really feel that everybody feels that same way. I feel that when someone walks into a room, they're like, oh God, what is somebody thinking?
Yeah.
But the thing is, the person on the other side of you is probably thinking the same thing. And once you get used to that idea, I think things become a little easier.
Yeah.
And that's when you kind of come out of your shell a little bit. And that's, I think what I think I was a late bloomer when it came to my personality, because I realized, well, everybody else is just that scared child too. I may as well just be myself.
Yeah. Well, you know, Jen, in the book you talk about don't waste your time thinking about what others think of you. And I think that's such a huge thing for all of us. And it's ingrained in me as a first generation Greek American, you know, Maria, what are the people at the church going to say? You know? Mm-hmm. So that's like that's a big thing we have to deprogram.
Super highly evolved. I think that we always do care on some level, but I don't know about you. I'm in my 50s, and the older I get, the less a crap I give. It is so relaxing. Mm-hmm. but I think it's a very important pursuit to just keep watching yourself and keep shedding that focus and hysteria around being judged by other people, because you will be judged. And who gives a crap?
Let's talk about self-deprecating humor. My husband does it. My favorite thing he does, which is so funny, which I've forced him to stop doing, is he'll all of a sudden start sniffing and he'll go, "Do you smell that?" And I'm like, "No, honey." And he goes, "I do. I smell failure." And it's funny, but I was like, honey, you can't say that. First of all, you've never failed at anything, actually. I had to like give him a whole like list the other day. I go, "Boo, you actually haven't failed at anything. You've wildly succeeded at everything, but somehow you regard yourself as this failure. It's not a good mentality." Chris is calling himself a loser.
Let me ask you a question, but isn't that kind of healthy because it keeps you on your toes? You're always worried about the next thing.
Yes.
You're always worried about failing the next thing.
Yeah, but do we want to live in a state of worry?
Yes, we
Jen,
do. That's
Jen,
how you succeed.
I agree.
Talk to them, Jen. We got a millennial who knows nothing,
right?
And we've got Chris who's not learned anything still.
Clearly.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, believe me, like, I'm all for a good joke, and I think some of it is highly hilarious, but I also think it drags you down, man. I mean, it really does. So it's like, I think to pepper it into your vernacular is the way to go, but if it's your shtick, it's not helpful. It's going to keep you down. I'm telling you.
And explain why, you know, because when you talk about the laws of attraction and how powerful our thoughts are, when you're trying to manifest good things in your life, you have to, and as we've learned in the book, Ask and It Is Given, your desire and your belief have to be on the same page for you to get what you're wanting and what the universe wants to give you. If they're not on the same page, you can't get it. Please explain this maybe in even better terms than I am.
So even, you know, quote unquote, joking around about it, what you focus on, you create more of. So if you're constantly calling yourself a loser, if you're like making fun of yourself all the time, you start to believe that stuff. I swear to God, that's how we create beliefs in the first place, is from hearing it over and over and over from our parents and society. Even stuff like, you know, we've all got a touch of the misogynist in us because we've been raised in a society that undervalues women. And I don't care who you are. It's been beaten into us like water against a rock, and over and over and over. So what seems like just joking around, if it's all the time, it has an effect on you.
Can we talk about this is a great line in the book. You said, "Our reality is a mirror of our thoughts and the people in our reality included."
Well, what we believe we deserve, we surround ourselves with. So if you are thinking you can't succeed or you can't do better, you're going to surround yourself with people who make you right, because human beings love to be right. And when we've got a belief or a thought or, you know, some sort of shtick we got going on, we will consciously or subconsciously surround ourselves with people who support that and make that the truth.
And so you talk about when you're making that decision to change your life and to say no mas, some of that comes with cleaning out your friendships and surrounding yourself with people who are better than you or are going to inspire you. I talk about that all the time too.
Yeah, it's like playing tennis with someone who's better than you. You get better when you hang out with people who not only can see bigger things from you, but who mirror back to you that it's possible. You know, all your sad sack friends are telling you all the reasons why it's never going to work and why.
Okay, what if you're a sad sack, though? Let me ask you a question. If you're a sad sack and you then you move up to the next level and your friends, they're still sad sacks, you got to leave them behind?
Sometimes, my darling.
My God, you people are ruthless. Is being rich really that important?
Hold on. Sometimes. What I always recommend is just don't share your hopes and dreams with these people if they're going to smear all their doubt, fear, and worry over you. You know, if you, I definitely still have some sad sack friends hanging around because they're fun, and that's great, but I don't.
That's the point I was going to make. They're all so much fun because they have nothing to do.
They're so always available when you need them to go somewhere with you.
You want to hang out? Of course I want to hang out. I'm not doing anything. Let's do something.
Here for breakfast. That's who I turn to.
But the point is when you're trying to grow, and it's not just about becoming rich, it's really about fulfilling your dreams and fulfilling fulfilling your purpose in life is you need to be around people that are going to inspire you, maybe flip something upside down that you were thinking one way and flip it the other way and maybe inspire you in a new direction. But if you have sad sacks around you all the time, they're not only draining you without you even knowing, they're literally dragging you down to even their level, which might be even sackier than yours.
That's the title of my next book, Sad Sack.
And how you may be sackier than me.
You.
All right. I want to talk about, you know, there's a chapter in here called The Drama of Overwhelm. And you talk about, you know, some of the things that we all say and, you know, believe in is like, there's not enough time. Talk a little bit about that illusion of time.
We often create overwhelm. Overwhelm is a decision like anything else, and it's a self-sabotaging decision. And what happens is a lot of times it's like, oh, my God, I have so many emails to answer. I'm not even going to get out of bed today. It's so overwhelming. I'm just going to lie face down all day. And then when you get into the specifics, you're like, oh, well, I do have a lot of emails, but it will actually take me 15 minutes to answer them.
Yep.
So when we get into specifics is when we free ourselves instead of getting into the gigantic overwhelm of, oh, I can't handle it. And also when you break things down into bite-sized chunks, that is my total key to freedom when it comes to overwhelm. But it's specifics and breaking it down.
Yeah, I'll do that all the time. Like, oh, my God, I have so much to do.
Right.
And then I sit behind the computer, and it's just because two emails were in my inbox that were overwhelming and needed decisions. And you do it in 10 or 15 minutes, and you're like, oh, well,
right.
I have a couple hours now that I thought I was going to need to do this with.
Totally.
So it really is like a state of mind.
Yeah, all the time. And we're really attached to it for some reason. I don't know. It's self-sabotage. It's like if you're overwhelmed, you can't move forward, which means you can't fail, which means you can't look like an idiot. So
yeah.
It really, well, it does all honestly go back to that most of the time.
Someone just taught me something super, super helpful recently, and I wish I could remember who it was.
It was me.
it was definitely not you. And they said, you know, instead of saying I'm busy, busy is such a like negative word. I hate saying I'm busy, but I am busy, right? Like I've got a lot going on. But she was like, say your days are so full right now. My days are full, which means like I'm doing all the things I want to be doing. Like my days are full, not
sounds
busy.
Sounds pretentious though, Maria.
Right? No, I like
sounds
it.
Sounds pretentious.
No, it's a mind shift.
Because, my damn days are so full
because
here.
Because when I'm saying
I don't have time for you, peon.
Well, it's not that. It's called my days are full with the things I want. If I'm like, oh my God, my days are so busy. Now I feel negative and dragged down by the things I'm doing, which I realize if I really think about them as full days, they're all the things I want to do. But if I say busy, I'm changing the context of the shit I'm doing. Does that make sense to anybody else?
No, it totally makes sense, but we're still going to bust your balls for it.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't imagine myself
full.
Saying
yeah,
that.
No, I couldn't either.
Well,
that's
fine.
Pretentious.
You guys can continue to be failures.
Thank
I'm
going
to be a success saying
we're the
my days
sack
are full.
Very
you know
comfortably.
What we're going to be doing? Having fun.
Yes.
You go have some work fun, whatever you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, you actually say fun is really important, too, and that was something that I had to learn after brain tumor surgery is that, you know, I wasn't having fun. I was making work fun along the way, but it was never like, oh, I'm going to go hang out with my friends and have a couple of beers and just like play gin rummy or something and just have fun. And it's so important, you say.
Isn't it weird that we forget?
Yeah.
Really? What else are we doing? I know, because I think that comes from comparison and from feeling like everybody else is doing so much better than us, and so we got to keep up with the Joneses. And it's like, you know what? You are on Earth once as the you that is you. I highly recommend you make fun a priority.
Yeah. Well, it also just, it fills you up and helps you. It's like, to me, it's like gasoline. If I have like fun on a weekend, it really gives me so much energy and excitement to attack my week and the things that I want to do. But I never understood that before because I was just so drained in my cycle of just work, 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 work.
Mm-hmm. And you tell yourself that your work is fun. And sometimes it really isn't.
Yeah.
It's actually work.
It can be.
And you need to actually set aside time for real fun. Mm-hmm. That's really you that you want to do.
Yeah. So you also talk about faith a lot and staying in gratitude. And I think that's so important. And here you say, the following is hugely important, so please pay very close attention. She puts it in cap blocks, which I really appreciate. Mm-hmm. You have to change your thinking first, and then the evidence appears. Our big mistake is that we do it the other way around. We demand to see the evidence before we believe it to be true.
That is the cosmic, and it's totally true. It's like that thing I said about the Ferenc signs. Like, where you place your focus, you start to see the proof. So you got to put all your beliefs and words and thoughts in the direction of what you desire, and then you will start to see it. But we love to just like, why? I haven't seen any proof of that. That's impossible, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, yeah, we put a man on the moon, you know. Like, nobody had done that before, and that seemed completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's
someone
the thing.
Had to think that up before it happened.
My dad always said, Maria, you can do whatever you put your mind to. And I go, you're right. Cool. I'm going to do it. And so I did. Jen, we're running out of time, but we'd love to have you back on, hopefully in person. We'll want to talk about the money book because a lot of people want to, of course, manifest a lot of money in their lives. So hopefully we'll get you in person at some point. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing all of your great tips and information. Of course, if you want to buy any of her books, You Are a Badass, You're a Badass at Making Money. They're available on all platforms. You can find her on Twitter and Instagram at Jen Sincero.
And follow us at Maria Menounos, at SiriusXM Stars, at Miss Ashley Daniels, at Brooklyn Nick LA, at Chris Booker. And remember, be nice people, make good choices, and be present.